Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You ready, Jay?
I'm ready, Tim.
You ready, Phil?
Ready, Tim.
Should we start podding in 2016?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
A very, very happy new year from me, Tim, from Phil and JB. We are the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast that doesn't take ourselves or the game of rugby too seriously. We just love rugby. And that's what we're going to do again today on the podcast. Firstly, can I just apologise for the tardiness of today's podcast? We normally like to make sure it's out for a Monday morning commute. And this Monday morning, is this the one they call Blue Monday?
I don't know. I was delighted to get back to work after 2 weeks with the family. I literally could not wait to get behind my desk.
Literally could not wait.
No, I literally could not.
You did
have to wait. Unfortunately, we didn't have the podcast up on Monday. That was my fault. Because I was still with the family in the new year and travelling back. But here we are, late, but better late than never, and the first podcast of the new year. So happy new year, boys.
Happy new year, Tim.
Happy new year, Tim. Happy new year, Jay.
Happy new film.
You can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Acast, you can, leave us a review on iTunes. I've got one of my favourite reviews we've been given over the last couple of weeks. And JB, you'll particularly like this one.
Oh, please, yes.
It says, this is by Tom Belt. Or is it Belter?
Tom Belter.
I tune in for every upload. Love the chat. I love the fact the presenters can have a giggle. Hey, you see, I am a radio presenter as a profession, but you two are being described as presenters now.
Wow.
Flattering.
Jesus. They give us an angle which is outside the common media, and they ask listeners to think about things outside of the hype box. That's a new phrase I think
the
we might start
box.
Using.
I'm not sure we're outside the hype box. I think I'm certainly firmly in it.
Well, Tom goes on to say, quite like JB's consistent breakdown, excuse the pun, of Stuart Lancaster before and during the World Cup. At the time, I thought he was infuriatingly wrong. Now I know he was infuriatingly right. Which resulted in absolute banter flying around.
Well, as you all know, I don't like to make the podcast about myself, so we won't mention Stuart Lancaster again. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure we're not done with Stuart Lancaster.
Stuart Lancaster, by the way, apparently lined up for the Japan job, which turned out to be a load of nonsense.
Yeah, the rumour came out middle of last week that he was lined up or one of the shortlist.
Why would you do that when you signed a 6-year deal at the RFU about 9 months ago?
I know.
Sit on a beach for the next 5 years. That's what I'd do.
I'd want to get back coaching. I
think there's separate pay.
There is. He signed a 6-year deal, but there was break clauses in it, get the full 6 years
payment. For instance,
payment.
Not getting out of your group, that's kind of serious in a home World Cup, isn't it?
You'd think that would be one of the break
Doing
clauses.
Doing worse than Japan.
Yeah.
That's quite serious in a home World Cup.
Yes.
So JB's obviously feeling a bit smug after that review. You can leave your review on iTunes. And JB would be feeling delighted at the news that we all saw in the last week or so. Andy Goode joining Newcastle Falcons. And then they immediately, even though Andy Goode was just basically a water boy running the tee on, they immediately win. Coincidence, says Alex Telfer. I think not. World class running the tee on from Andy Goode.
I think it's just his presence. It's just his presence in the changing room, his leadership quality, his tactical nous. A man like that can change an entire team.
If you were a London Irish fan, would you not just be feeling a bit cheated by Andy Goode?
It depends.
How in the space of a few weeks can you be so unfit and injured that you have to retire to then... I mean, the cynic in me would say Newcastle must be just giving him an empty cheque.
Throwing money at him. Throwing money at him to make him go faster.
If I was an Irish fan, I would be a bit annoyed. Just because... I was having this conversation a couple of weeks ago and saying when London Irish hadn't won a game, they've got some young, talented backs, they've got some pacey backs, but they needed that old head to steer the ship. And he would have made a big difference to that Irish team, so they would be understandably annoyed.
And there's a few more things to this. There's an interview with him where he praises Dan Barr, who is the Wasps strength and conditioner, who apparently just looked after him. Well, not just him, but, you know, made sure that he had a programme suitable for for a 45-year-old.
Who's actually 34, but with a body of a 45-year-old.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why he could play week in, week out. Apparently London Irish was a little bit too stressful for him with the pre-season. And now he's recovered, he thinks he can do a job. And he did.
That's pretty tough, because you can't really walk into a new club and gain the respect of your peers if you don't put in the graft all do in pre-season.
Yeah, you can. He did also apparently offer his services to Irish before he signed for Newcastle, in fairness to the guy.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. Via his agent, not him directly, but still, it was done.
It's an incredible way to miss pre-season training, isn't it?
He doesn't need pre-season.
Retire through a shoulder injury.
Has anyone ever watched Andy Goon and thought, he's putting a shift today, fair play.
Yeah.
He's just over that ball making tackles. No, that's not what he does.
Do you reckon they even bother putting one of those GPS trackers in?
Nah.
Because it would just be like...
Oh, that's... You see, who's the player that threw his GPS tracker away the other day?
I didn't see it.
Maybe it was Haskell, so he could stand even more upright. He didn't want to have any any extra weight on his back to make him hunch over at all.
The altitude sensor.
Yeah.
It's very high up. What's going on here?
Hey, speaking of Bantos, Wasps fans. Well, no, actually, let me just bring JB back down to earth. I've mentioned the W word. JB, he's very smug about Stuart Lancaster.
And I'm very happy that last week you agreed that Haskell's a better captain than Chris Robshaw.
Oh, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. That was... Don't misquote me, or don't take me out of context.
But do you hear it, Phil?
You must now, JB, have to swallow your words about Wasps. They're just a player or two away from being the top team. Well, and then early... I mean, we all thought they were great and they were going to be a title-challenging team after the first few weeks. But
look, there's a couple of things. They're not as good as I thought they were. That's the first thing I'm going to say. They were nowhere near as good as I thought. They are a serious attacking force, but Sale isn't an easy place to go. There have been better teams than Wasps to go to Sale and lose. And actually, it plays into my other thing, which I love Steve Diamond. So I'm on a win-win. You know, Wasps win, I win. Steve Diamond wins, I win. It's a win-win.
Well, I actually think there's two big things that are causing Wasps free fall. When they've lost, or a lot of the games they've lost, they've been missing Nathan Hughes. He is huge for them. And the other player they're missing at the moment is Christian Wade. And that's two things. One, it prevents go forward, but it also means that Charles Piatow is playing on the wing and he doesn't get as much ball. And
yeah, fullback, he looks much better, doesn't he?
He gets so much more ball in hand, so much more time and space to run at fullback than he does on the wing. So those two things... just, they contribute hugely.
We'll go through the games. I mean, I know, Phil, you particularly watched so much Pro 12, didn't you? JB, me...
I did. Do you know what? I watched Pro 12. I wasn't as utterly disappointed as I thought I would be. I'm going to say no. I and Phil have watched so much rugby this weekend. It's all sort of merged into one. I'm not entirely sure what I've seen, what I haven't seen.
I think I might have watched every single televised game this weekend.
That's impressive.
I've watched... probably 10 games.
Wow.
Live games this weekend.
My
girlfriend's been working long days, so I've just kind of... And I've been winding down the holidays, relaxing, ready for work. So it's been good. I've not had any big jobs to do at
I watched
the
all
house.
All the Premiership, all the Welsh Pro 12, that's five. Oh, and a bit of French stuff with you.
Yeah.
Last night, or the night before, or whichever it was.
one big rugby merge.
Hell yes, we've got plenty to talk about. But what other headlines have there been in the... Oh, there's a story coming out of Saracens.
Yes.
This is big.
That is big. That is a very big story.
One of the best players at the World Cup is going to be joining the Aviva Premiership.
I'm bigger.
He said one of, not the best.
Oh, sorry, one of. Yeah, I shouldn't have got that.
Schalburger.
That is a great signing.
Yeah. It's impressive.
If you'd have asked me 12 months ago, or even 6 months ago, whether that was a good signing, I probably would have said, No. I think he's on the wrong side. Bit of a spent force. And in fact, before the Wales game in the World Cup, Jay, you made a big thing.
Yeah.
And then had to eat some humble pie, as I did as well, because I thought he was a little bit past it. And then his performance against Wales was one of the best I've seen from a flanker.
Did he not make more yards himself than the whole of the Wales team or something?
I think he made double than the Wales backline.
Yeah, it's something stupid.
Mm. Yeah. But it was a perfect game for any English flanker to watch. I think it's really good for him to go there and have someone like Will Fraser or even Mauro Itoje learning from someone with that level of experience. He's won a World Cup.
And Billy Vunipola still young.
Definitely.
No, Billy Vunipola does. He needs to keep as far away from Jack Berger as he possibly can.
Scalp Berger.
Because I've seen Scalp Berger play eight, and it wasn't pretty. So the flankers, yes. Yeah. Billy, no.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
One Berger out, one Berger in.
Berger flipping. There you go.
Hey.
Banter.
So, yeah, that was Will Fraser, Billy Vunipola and Schalk Berger is a pretty tasty.
I'll tell you the other thing as well.
Back row.
They're very good at rotating that squad. And for a guy who's had a history of injuries, been in such a deep squad where you don't have to play week in, week out, will be perfect for him.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a signing, actually.
They'll get the most. They will get the most out of him.
Quick apology. Joe Waite got in touch. It's at Rugby Podcast. You can find us on Twitter. And he said, first day back at work, tough enough. Then to find there was no Rugby Podcast is pushing me close. Egg Chaser's Rugby Podcast is pushing me close to the limit, needing his fix. We didn't think about the mental state of rugby fans.
No, we didn't.
When we decided to put this back 24 hours. Zippy Chuck also says, going back to the Wasps, which we just touched on, for a team that get lots and lots of plaudits, Wasps are ninth in the Aviva Premiership. Can we please now judge on results and not flair and or potential?
No, that's absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, they have had the best result of the season when they smashed Toulon.
Mm.
I would say that is...
Judging on flair and potential is fine.
But he's quite right. 3 out of 8 games in the Premiership is not good
enough. Woeful.
Particularly as we fully expect them to be pushing for top 4 this year.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
I mean, the only thing Di Young can maybe have as a little bit of a in his backup is that Mike Ford is taking some of the heat off him.
Yeah.
They are done. Your two favourite teams, JB.
I know. Bath are really, really struggling, and I have no idea why.
Yeah.
There's no idea.
There's no big changes to that team from the team that played 95% of games last season and looked like, for 95% of those 95% of games, they looked like the best team in the Premiership.
Bonkers. Mm.
They were superb last season, and I can't put my finger on exactly what's going wrong.
And once you shut down the individuals, you don't have any kind of team, any sort of team strategy to get themselves back.
But I'm not sure that's quite right.
I think so. Wasps.
Last season they were built on, they had a very good pack, and then the backs were just so clinical, not purely because of individual skill, but it was the interlink play between Ford, Eastman and Joseph, and one would create the room for the other, and it would be try time.
But I think there's a little bit where you see how important it was, how important it is to be playing on the front foot, getting over the gain line. And basically, Bath's pack last year, I don't know, what it seems underpowered compared to last year. I don't know whether that's everyone else has got better.
There's no Paul James.
But they're not getting over the gain
line.
Here's
my theory, okay? My theory is that the Mike Ford master plan is to almost create this chaotic environment where everyone's kind of out of position, Bath players and the opposition, and they just play in absolute chaos, which allows George Ford and Eastman and all these other guys to play their game. It's almost like sometimes last year when you'd watch them with those like pods and they'd play interlink and stuff, it almost seemed like sevens. I think Saracens showed in the final that if you increase your line speed, if you stay organised, they can't do
that.
If
you deny them the gain line.
Yeah.
You have to earn the right to play that kind of rugby, and Bath just haven't been able to earn the right, because I don't know. It's interesting because they've got the same personnel or arguably better personnel besides Sam Burgess, and they can't win the gain line battle. It's really odd.
Yeah.
I do wonder how Sam Burgess would have fitted in if he'd have stayed in a sinking team rather than the Bath team he's in last year.
I don't think he would have made a huge difference either way.
No.
Not because there's so many players who are quality players who are just in a poor patch of form. it appears, unless there is something fundamentally wrong and Ford's lost the changing room.
If directors of rugby were stocks and shares, you would have piled loads of money into Mike Ford, wouldn't you? You're a financial advisor, JB. You'd have been going, you know, let's tie up plenty of Mike Ford, because that's a good, solid, long-term investment. And it's just a toxic stock at the minute.
Yeah. I do think that the players are better than the coaching. It's one hell of a squad.
It is one hell of a squad.
So it has to go down to coaching. But there again, that isn't down to Mike Ford, because I think he's got brilliant coaches with him. I think he's got Neil Hatley, who's a bloody good coach.
He's done really good work with Nick Auterack, with Henry Thomas.
He's got Toby Booth, and I couldn't rate Toby Booth any higher. I think Toby Booth is a marvellous coach. So, again, it's all a bit of a mystery. I'm sure they will pull it round, though.
I'm not sure they can pull it round enough to finish in the top four.
A little light bit of interlude, because we talked about a big South African joining the Aviva Premiership in Schalkburger. Joe, who was watching the England-South Africa cricket. He knows how much, and if you've listened to enough podcasts in the past, you'll know how much we like a misuse of the word literally. And he pointed out that Ian Botham said after England's excellent test win against South Africa in the first test, Ian Botham said on the telly, "They'll literally be circling the moon in the changing room after that innings."
No, oh yeah, I've heard that tweet. No, Ian, no, they won't.
And I was listening to the radio, and give me your lead, JB. I'm going to plug myself
here
in.
You go, mate.
I was listening to the radio, and I heard a brilliant misuse of the word literally, which I'm going to share with you now.
Swing constituency is like alternative.
So it's Five Live, and it was a discussion about Jeremy Corbyn. And I think you'll hear it in a second.
They're kind of more middle ground, and
it's interesting you're talking about Syria. What did you think about that?
Well, I remember on the night I was literally hooked to the TV, like all of us.
What was you hooked to the
hooked to the TV?
Literally.
Oh, was it an ISIS thing? Is that
literally hooked to the TV?
The torture device.
Wow. I mean, it'd be a torture device if you were watching
the rugby club on Sky.
I always used to really like the rugby club.
Do you know what? I used to love it, because on Thursdays, I used to watch it straight after training rugby. It was great.
I used to love it.
But then it never really updated from when I first started watching it 15 years ago. I think it might even be the same set.
See, I think there's a place for some real good analytical rugby chat. It's not from us.
It's not from us.
Definitely not from us. That's not what you'll get from us. But I think there's a place for it. I used to like the rugby club. I did.
Yeah, I must admit, I was very fond of it back in the day.
Right, after that interlude, where do you want to go? Should we just quickly rattle through some of these games then? Because you said you watched so much rugby. So, Phil, why don't you lead on?
Let's go for it.
Oh, God, it's all blurred into one.
Let's talk about Northampton Saints first.
Beautiful, horrendous. Well, the first game was Ospreys Dragons, which...
Whoa.
Do we want to talk about that?
Should we do that in JB's new segment?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Let's do the Premiership
first. Now, listen, if you ever finish a journey and then just stop listening to the podcast, no. You have to listen to all of today's, because coming up in a little bit, JB has prepared a brand new segment, and it's like it's kind of a New Year's resolution, because JB has been very critical of the Pro 12. He is making up for that, and he's starting 2016 on a brilliant new refreshed note. So you've got to stick around for this. So come on, okay. Then. All right, let's stick with the Premiership. Let's rattle through some of these. We've already touched on sort of three or four of the games.
Northampton 8, Exeter 3.
Ugh. Damn good win. Damn good win.
Really good win.
Very good win against a good Exeter Chiefs side.
Yeah.
It was pretty even game. And Exeter, to their credit, of their defence, stayed in it, and they were still in it in the last second when Will Chudley passed into touch. They still could have got 7 points and a win.
I've got so much time for Rob Baxter, and his post-match chat about that, he was like, do you know what? I'm kind of happy with the bonus point, because we played awfully, and we were to have played that badly and be in the game with the final play of the match. Actually, I'll take that, because that wasn't anywhere near where we should be. He was very, very honest.
Well, I think actually a lot of the reason that they played badly was because Exeter were pressured, and I thought JJ Hammerham was superb with the boot. He missed a few awkward kicks.
Yeah, he missed a couple of shots at goal. His kicking out of hand was very good. Yeah. It was interesting. In the last 10 minutes, when they were summing up the game, they credited his kicking out of hand, which was fair, and his defence, which was also fair. But I'm not sure that those are the two most important things for a 10. His distribution and his decision making didn't always look as good as it possibly should be.
The ball was not sticking to hands by any stretch.
True. That's
true. It was a horrible game to watch.
It's getting to that point in the season where this relentless week after week after week schedule, you are going to see dips in form and the odd surprising result, I think.
And people are going to have niggles and they're going to have to play on when they're not quite 100%. Unfortunately.
Mm. So that was a pretty turgid display there from both sides. Northampton, good win.
Yeah, Gloucester 27, London Irish 14.
And London Irish are doing quite well and seem to have that renewed vigour, carried that from the previous week into this one, and were ahead. And then.
Yeah, ahead at half time.
Mm. Was it James Hooker that.
James Hooker.
Apparently he was on Song with a Boot.
He was on Song with a Boot.
Mm.
He kicked very well. And I said last week, if London Irish get a bonus point out of this, they'll be very pleased. And at half time, they really would have thought they could have done.
Yeah.
But they didn't score a single point in the second half, so went from ahead to comfortably behind.
That's two games down and no points in the second half.
Yeah.
Wow. Next up.
Maybe that pre-season wasn't intense enough. Newcastle Bath, which we spoke about.
Yeah.
Very good win for Newcastle.
Brilliant win for Newcastle.
Very good. First win of the season.
And which one of you two picked up on the fact it was an incredibly short second row pairing for Newcastle?
That was me.
Average 6 foot two.
Yeah. Is that right? So I could have played second row for Newcastle.
Yeah, I could. Me and you could have would have been the same size as the second row.
Do you know what? It's very interesting that, because we did a short man 15. And I could not find any second rows really below 6'3".
Chabal, I think, made it, who's 6'3 or 6'4, because he played for France in the second row, and that's being anything under 6'5 is unusual.
But what they brought around the field was...
They're both flankers, really. Yeah. And Matt Wilson, who's playing number four, is an excellent all-round player. So to have someone of that calibre and his fitness and work rate was
And the
was
plastic
excellent.
Pitch as well. That always helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
Except when Saracens come to town. Do you take that? Do you take the plastic pitch because you know you've got an advantage against every other team?
Other than
except
Saracens.
Except for Saracens. So once a year, you've got to be bullied and embarrassed on your own pitch. Humiliated.
I think Newcastle could field 20 players and they'd still be bullied and embarrassed by Saracens the way they're going at the moment.
And then next up?
Well, Saracens, Leicester Tigers, which we've not really touched on.
And Richard Cockerell described Leicester. This is Richard Cockerell described Leicester as being absolutely stuffed up front.
Yeah, they well and truly were.
They started with Thacker, with Balmain, underpowered in several spots in the pack.
Harry Thacker, this was his first Premiership start, and I've seen him before, and he looks a very capable hooker around the park, and his line-out was excellent, 100% in the line-out. Harry Thacker. According to Leicester's own website, is the same height as me and 1 kilogram lighter than me.
What?
So he's tiny.
He looks small. And I mean, I was considered pretty small for a tier 2, tier 3 winger. He was giving away 20 kilograms to Scout Brits, who is not a big...
To Brits,
yeah. Who is not a big hooker.
To him and Jamie George. Jamie George could have eaten him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thacker, very good player on the park, but it did look like 3 penalty tries, and the other try was a rolling maul try. He's obviously a very talented player. It's the kind of thing where you say, get down the gym, look at your nutrition, because otherwise you just worry that Leicester pack is going to be a little bit underpowered when you're giving away so much.
And I've got a bit of a weird story for you as well about Leicester hookers. Remember Neil
and what
Briggs?
About the what about the rugby number twos?
Neil Briggs, when he was there, who's now back at Sale,
Briggsy,
was told to put on a lot of weight at Leicester. So they clearly rate big players. So it's weird that they just let Harry Thacker go along as he has, because he does look like a back row. He looks like a seven. He's got that build
like
as well.
Looks like a centre almost, because he's athletic.
Well, some players like Stuart Hooper. If you were Bath's coaches, you'd say get bigger.
Stuart Hooper's huge.
No, he's not.
Is he not? He looks massive.
He's got big old shoulders.
He has to work his nuts off to stay at a reasonable weight. A bit like Steve Borthwick, who just could not put on weight.
No, I seem to really.
Yeah, yeah.
I seem to think Hooper's a giant of a man.
No.
Maybe it's because he does look a bit like the BFG facially.
I am more than anyone. If you're good enough, you're big enough. But I do think in the front row particularly, giving away 20 kg to a light hooker.
I don't know what Saracen's doing, but they are playing a different game.
It's really simple. I don't think they're playing a different game.
Different game.
I look at Saracen's, I go, the only way to beat them is to play them at their own game and do it better, which is so hard to do, because all Saracens are doing is they're kicking it and going, come on then, run it back. Run it back. And the second you run it back, they go, boom, got your turnover try. Saracens in the most simplistic.
They know exactly what you're going to do attackingly. Their defence is magnificent. I mean, they don't really even compete at the breakdown.
We've talked about them so much in previous weeks. We don't need to go on about that.
Just think of this. They destroyed a Leicester pack with all of those caps Reece Gill.
They were shorn of a lot of their...
But Reece Gill and Duplessis. Duplessis was playing with Phil not so long ago. Reece Gill has not been seen in Wales for like 6 years. Even when Wales had a propping crisis, Reece Gill was not used. It's quite incredible.
Saracens do have the best second row in the world in Jim Hamilton, though.
On the bench.
As the rugby top trumps that you might have got in your Christmas stock improves.
And Jackson Ray, he would get into any international team, right?
Yeah.
Right, guys?
Clearly. So again, the Borg rumbles on. Next up.
Sale Wasps, which we touched on briefly.
Yeah, just again, pretty turgid. Lots of errors.
What I learnt from this was kind of the maturity of Danny Cipriani. Because his kicking was immaculate from the tee. He kept it very, very simple and controlled the game nicely.
Wasps, I think they have themselves to blame. They butchered opportunities. They chucked balls into touch. They kicked the ball dead. They kicked it directly into touch.
I just wanted to touch on the Haskell re-signing.
Oh, the Hask.
The Hask re-signed.
Signed for his banter and
his captaincy skills.
Lucky byproduct that he's actually a pretty reasonable rugby player.
Great rugby player. He should be next England captain.
He's the third best back row in Wasps.
Oh, stop it.
And he's a good rugby player.
I'd say Rob Short is the fourth best seven in Harlequins.
Behind Dave Ward.
He's the best Easter. He's not just the best back row at Wasps, he's the best player at Wasps at Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Now I've got a little plea here, because I saw a headline today. I can't remember where it was. I searched for it before, I couldn't find it, but it was James Haskell resigns. So no apostrophe, S-I-G-N.
Not the apostrophe, we need the little hyphen.
Yes, sorry, no, there was no hyphen in this. Yeah. So James Haskell resigns. What on earth? This is huge news.
I know they're down the table, but it's not that bad.
So click on it. James Haskell resigns a new 3-year deal.
You see, you fell for it. Clickbait.
Oh, you didn't click on it, and it's like banter. He's actually re-signed.
No.
What's it stand for?
Was there a picture of James Haskell winking and doing like pistol fingers?
Yeah, like a little gif.
It's like a Rick rule, isn't it? Haskell rule. This is one of my biggest pet hates of rugby journalism, because they'll lure you in with a headline like Sexton signs for Exeter.
What? Which one?
Jerry Sexton, brother of Johnny, journeyman lock, signs for Exeter.
No, here's one which I hate.
I don't care.
It'll say something like, north to centre, according to Martin Williams.
Yeah, North could do a job at centre if required.
Yeah, they've obviously doorstepped some Welsh international from, 1980s, I don't know, Ringer or someone.
Rugby journalists are going, how could we do a bit of BuzzFeed style clickbaiting?
Exactly.
I hate listening to ex-internationals who haven't stepped foot on a rugby pitch for the last, I don't know, 8 years, and they go, what do you think about the subtlety of Danny Cipriani against Ford? And they'll give you this whole long explanation. It makes the BBC website. I hate it with a passion.
Just a pity you want more fact and less opinion. I thought that was against.
My opinion's fine because it's valid and I watch rugby. A lot of these opinions are not.
So you want to vet the sources that are allowed to have opinions?
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And it's no one but you.
Correct.
Worcester against Quins on the Sunday.
I thought it was the best Premiership game of the week.
Yeah.
Easily.
It probably was. They were all played in dreadful conditions. This was no exception, but it was a good game.
We saw the enforcer, what? Charlie Matthews.
Oh, great bit of wrestling, by the way.
Smack down Tom Heathcote.
Great bit of wrestling. Oh, yeah, nothing there. Carry on, Scrum Harlequins. Perfect. Now,
let the boys play.
What do you think, exactly, Tim? What do you think of this Harlequins team? Because I can't make heads or tails of it, really. I think they're very competent, and I think they're probably a little bit ahead of where they should be in terms of talent. So, what are they, third in the league or second in the league now?
Yeah, third.
Yeah. Third. I don't think that they're a top four team, really. I mean, I think there's other teams which have got better squads, yet they seem to just carry on winning.
I like them this year. I think they're a fair weather team. They play an attacking brand of rugby. They play the offloading game and looking to bend the line and then offload and make the yards that way. And their rolling maul was very good against Worcester. Their first two tries came from it, but their scrum is still weak. That is their soft underbelly.
Yeah.
And Adam Jones, again, didn't look particularly competent or confident. This game was interesting, though, because of the kind of up and down. Quinn's took a 24-3 lead, partly helped by Worcester's inability to take their opportunities in the first half. And then Worcester came right back into it and almost got the win.
I thought Worcester were the better team for large portions of the first half. As for Quinn's, I think their England contingent, everyone else is suffering a hangover still. You see that with Northampton, you see that with Wasps, you see that with Bath in particular. Quinn's to me feel like a very solid outfit, like a very together outfit, which sounds a bit odd. But you just, it's like they've got a point to prove. It's quite interesting because I still don't think that they're that good.
No,
but they're winning.
I do. And I'll tell you, he's not a new signing, but he's back from injury and it's a very
low.
Yeah,
yeah,
George Lowe.
Yep.
And George Lowe and Jamie Roberts. Here's a question for you. Jamie Roberts, 8 carries. How many yards did he make?
By JB's...
Three times eight.
It would be 3 times 8, 24
he yards. Actually made just shy of that, 21.
Did he?
Yes! Have that!
He's almost exactly on the money.
If you're just listening to us for the first time, it's JB's theory that Jamie Roberts, no matter who he plays, what his opposition, what position, or where he gets the ball on the field, he will always make 3 yards, no more, no less.
Yeah.
He's doing very well to get close to that average.
Yeah, he is. He's doing me proud.
Now, Phil, did you have before the podcast, you came from the gym, didn't you? What's a gym like on the 4th of January?
Oh, it's hellish. It's hellish. There's lots of people who, from their physical condition and from the exercises they're doing, look like they should not be in the gym and look like they haven't seen a gym in a long, long time. It was very, very busy. Fortunately, I just needed one bench for about 45 minutes today, so I managed to get pretty much everything I needed to do done in that
I'm going
time.
Tomorrow and I need a squat rack, and I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to go there and the squat racks are going to be used by people doing shrugs.
Shrugs, curling.
Guilty.
Shoulder press.
I do lots of shrugs on the squat rack. After I've squatted, for the record.
my gym, this is a big bugbear of mine. There's two squat racks. Both of them have also got they can be used for dips and chin-ups.
Oh, what?
And they're the only place in the gym.
Oh, no.
They're the only place where there's a mirror where you can do dips or chin-ups. So if I'm doing weighted chin-ups or weighted dips, which I do, I want to do them in front of a mirror, safety, make sure my form's good.
Oh, yeah, safety, yeah, of course.
All that stuff.
Safety.
I mean, I like to do it topless in front of the mirror.
You'd like to do it sideways so you could just see your bicep flexing as you go up.
But it means I feel bad because I'm taking up one of the only two squat racks. So they've got like a feedback iPad. So every single session, whether I use the squat rack or not, I'm putting in, you need to get more squat racks. You need to get more squat racks.
It's interesting you say that you do dips in the mirror for safety. I would never do dips in the mirror for safety because look, just watching my awful body undulate up and down and the tears streaming down my face as I cry.
Mental health issues.
Yeah, possible slips.
Yeah, because he might have to drive over Barton Bridge in Manchester on the way back. He might just go, it's not worth it. I'm driving off the
edge. What am I doing? Doing dips. It's more than dips. Throw a McDonald's in my face.
So New Year's resolution, I haven't really thought of one yet. I haven't really got one. I'll think on that. But do you have one, Phil? Do you go in for all that action?
No, at all.
Nor do I.
I have a New Year's resolution, and I'll tell you it after we play the Wheel of Rugby.
Oh, we've got a game of the Wheel of Rugby. Excellent, JB.
So I'll just recap you on the rules, because I've had a bit of a think about it, and last week is okay. I'm going to mark your argument. So we're going to spin the wheel, and there's going to be an argument. I'll tell you the argument. You can pick... Phil will pick the first side.
And which side of the argument he's on.
Exactly, okay. And then you will argue the opposite side.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let's play the Wheel of Rugby.
Yes.
Doesn't seem to slow down in a realistic time, this, unless it's got some excellent bearings in it.
What's the hypothetical argument?
The more impressive burger, Jack or Schalk? Tim gets to choose first.
I'm going to pick Jack Burger.
Wow.
The general evolution over millions of years means we are... The reason we are the predominant species on planet Earth is that we... pay such regard to our health and our fitness and our well-being. Mm-hmm. Jack Burger almost lays his life on the line and disregards his importance as a human being every time he steps on the rugby field. He puts his face in places that a human
should never
put their face.
Jack Burger says no to humanity.
Yeah, he does.
And that's impressive.
Jack Burger would have Darwin scratching their head. Go, I can't work this person out. It doesn't make any sense. This isn't survival of the fittest.
He's post-evolution human.
and he has managed to achieve so much more than his physical attributes should allow him to achieve. Because he's not the biggest.
He's not
the strongest. He's not the quickest. He's not the best. He is
the best. I mean, sorry.
There's a bit of bias in this.
He's the best.
But what he's managed to achieve with the lot he was given makes him the most impressive burger.
Ooh. Phil.
Now, talking about evolution, Schalk Burger, when he burst onto the scene, was the biggest and was the strongest and was explosive and dominant, and he won a World Cup and he was a successful Lions tour and he scored the most tries for a Springbok international forward. But he then had horrendous illness, injury and illness, and missed almost 2 years of rugby and came back age 31. And a lot of people didn't think he would be able to do it, could it, at the highest level. But over the past 18 months since...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
He has been back. He has demonstrated that he can do, he can evolve, and he doesn't rely as much...
He's using my own argument back at me. I love this film.
He doesn't rely as much on the physical side, and he uses his intelligence and his experience more, although he can still mix it with the best. And it is something to say that 31-year-old Jack Burger is being replaced by 32-year-old Schalk Burger on a 2-year deal at Saracens.
Ooh, which way do I go with this? I'm going to give it to...
Well, how are you scoring it, didn't you say?
Subjectively.
Yeah.
So that means however Jay wants to.
I'm going to give that to Phil. Well done, Phil.
Yes.
Although, great arguments, Tim, and usually I would agree with you. Uh-oh, what's this going to be? Okay, under more pressure, and Phil gets to pick, under more pressure for a losing season this year, Mike Ford or Andy Robinson?
It has to be Mike Ford. So, Mike Ford, they finished top of the regular season last year and lost in the final. So they came second place overall in the Premiership. And given that a lot of their players are early to mid-20s, the likes of Autorek, the likes of Henry Thomas, Ford, Eastman, Joseph, they're all learning, they're getting more and more experience. Anthony Watson, coming of age, everyone, me included, fully expect them to kick on and just continue that upward trend that they were on. And not only have they fallen off the upward trend, they have gone backwards by a couple of years. This, we've not seen this kind of performances from Bath for 3-4 years.
Mm.
I mean, his goal would have been to win the Premiership. Now it looks like top four would be a struggle. It even looks like top six, given the way that the teams above him are playing, will be difficult. So I think Mike Ford is under the most pressure of any manager in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment.
Tim?
Andy Robinson is the most under pressure coach. It's one thing losing narrowly to Worcester Warriors, who themselves were, you know, an impressive setup, to miss out on the Premiership. It's another thing when you've got a free-falling London Welsh coming down into the Championship and you're the only team that are spending anywhere remotely near the sums of money that are being spent in the Premiership. You're playing against some barely more than semi-professional teams in some cases. They do a really good job, the likes of Ealing Trailfinders, Nottingham, Plymouth. Well, Plymouth have dropped down, but Cornish Pirates, Moseley. Bedford. These sides do a great service to English rugby. But if you are Bristol and you cannot emerge from that pack, there's a salary cap in the Premiership that exists, and that equalises the quality that any one team can get. So in any given team, you can imagine Bath. In any given week, you can imagine any team in the Premiership beating any other. You shouldn't be able to imagine over a 24-game season, 22-game season, Bristol not comfortably winning and then demolishing teams in the playoffs. The money they've spent, the players they've got, it is unthinkable that Bristol don't emerge this season, or Andy Robinson will add Bristol failure to Scotland failure.
England failure. It is Tim, I'm afraid. Tim wins that. Andy Robinson. And the last one for the tiebreaker. Oh. Keep going, Ken.
Is this you moving it to where you want it to be, Jay?
Basically, yeah. The uneven dots as it spins.
More impressive performances this year. Worcester Warriors coming up. Or Saracens separating themselves from the rest of the pack. Tim?
Right.
You're a big Dean Ryan fan.
I'm a big Dean Ryan fan, so I'm going to go with Worcester.
Fire away, the tiebreaker.
Look at their squad. They have added a little bit of stardust, Bryce Heem, to add to players that they managed to keep hold of, Chris Pennell. And they've made some intelligent signings like Phil Dowson. But get below those few players and you have got a youth team. And we know of Worcester's youth team. And we know from the video that we mentioned on a previous podcast that the Worcester youth team have a house that they hang out in when they're playing, with relaxation rooms, in inverted commas. That's what they call them.
With Wi-Fi.
With Wi-Fi access and lots of iPads about. So the fact you managed to not only do overturn Bristol, come up and hit the ground running, I just think says absolutely everything about what Dean Ryan is building, has built, with a very, very young, relatively cheap squad there. And I think that's down to the coaching and the culture, I'm going to use that word, of Worcester Warriors. So I think that makes it even more impressive than Saracens.
Worcester, I commend them for the way they're building their squad. And Tim was right 2 years ago. Well, maybe he was right. When he said it's a long game rather than a short, immediate game.
And that Dean Ryan was the right man.
But let's just put it in a little perspective here. Worcester played 8-1-2, one of those very narrow against Northampton, an underperforming Northampton side at the start of the season. Saracens played 8-1-8, and no one has even come close to them. No one has even got them in an arm wrestle yet. You look, Saracens have comfortably scored more points than any other team and comfortably conceded fewer points than any other team. They're 6 points clear at the top of the Premiership already after only 8 games. I'm not sure where they're going to lose their first game. Saracens, not only are they a great team this year, they could be one of the best all-time Premiership teams, not because of the man-for-man, but because what they do as a squad. So that is more impressive.
What are you going with, JB?
I'm going to go with, as much as I like the relaxation room and the Wi-Fi, I don't think getting BT broadband is that impressive, actually. I'm going to go with Phil. Well done, Phil.
Yes. 2-1.
Well, you've done. So the person who chose every time lost.
Yeah.
It's almost like the person who goes second is doing research.
It is almost like that,
isn't it?
It is.
It's thinking about their argument before the other person's jabbering on.
Exactly right.
No, well played, Phil. Well played. That was the Wheel of Rugby. Now, we've done Premiership. We've done the Wheel of Rugby. We've talked about Andy Goode, James Haskell, Shout Burger. Now it's time. We were talking about New Year's resolutions and whatnot. Now it's time for JB to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. He's been so critical of the Pro 12. He's baited people and the Pro 12 fans on Twitter. He's been called a plastic Welshman by many an Egg Chasers listener.
I think I caught myself up.
And now JB is going to make up for all of that. You've made something for us for this podcast, haven't you, JB?
You wanted more Pro 12? You're going to get more Pro 12.
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra Nil. Starring Rory Pittman, Scott Andrews, and Luke Burgess, the other one. And definitely not featuring Aroni, Celtic Warriors, or Border Reavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
Wow.
There you go. So I'm taking my Pro 12 seriously this year.
What an introduction. It sounds like you're taking it very, very seriously.
It's the best league in the world, Phil. Best league in the world.
Explosive.
Oh, yeah. Just
Rory Pittman.
Just listen to the names that I've thrown out there. It's so competitive, some teams don't even exist anymore.
Come on then, JB. So explosive, some of them have been blown to smithereens.
Exactly right.
Come on then, let's have your Pro 12 update.
So, how much Pro 12 did I really watch this weekend? Well, I did start with watching Ospreys versus Dragons, and I was quite looking forward to this because I kind of half-watched the Ospreys play against Scarlets, and I thought that looks reasonable. I might watch more of that. I couldn't have been more wrong. They rested Dan Bigger, which means that my favourite player wasn't playing. Liberty Stadium was empty again, so it wasn't particularly good. I then took a bit of a break. And Phil, you watched the Irish stuff.
Yeah, I watched. I watched Ulster Munster, but I wish I hadn't. Ulster were the better team for most of it, but just could not get the points. Missed a couple of speculative penalties and ultimately got beaten by a Munster team whose defence was outstanding. Were limited in attack, but just did enough.
Interesting, the biggest margin of any victory was 13 points. Leinster beating Connacht in the other Irish game. That was the biggest margin.
13-0.
13-0, sorry. 13-point victory, because there were so many games with losing bonus points.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the all-Scottish affair was fairly drab, excuse the pun.
Glasgow losing at home to Edinburgh.
Well, they didn't actually lose at home, because Scotstown the pitch was unsuitable, unfit, so they moved it to Murrayfield. So it was Edinburgh had two home fixtures against Glasgow in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's good for Edinburgh.
Good for Edinburgh.
And Edinburgh, who are moving nicely up the table. Those two have almost reversed their positions from last season. Edinburgh pushing for top four.
Yeah, your Ulstermen at Ravenhill were not too, Kingspan Ravenhill were not so pride.
And the Italians did well. They did something rather.
But then they played, I guess.
Zebra beat Benetton away 18-8.
But then this happened.
Yes.
The Blues played the Scarlets.
Oh yes.
The match of the week. It was absolutely fantastic.
Seven tries, over 60 points.
Scarlets love attacking rugby. This is what I'll say. Scarlets absolutely love it. When they attack, they are wide, they're deep. And when they defend, they are also wide and they're deep. They're not entirely interested in any other aspect of rugby other than going forward. If Scarlets had all their players, I think they're going to be very, very dangerous.
And if they'd have had all of their players for all of the game, because they had three yellow cards, two of which were concurrent, they probably would have won.
They looked like easily the better team to start with.
10 points up at half-time.
And here's another small prediction. Tom James for the Blues, he might be the best out-and-out carrier of a rugby ball, maybe in the home nations. I mean, he is some runner. He was an exceptional runner in his first stint in the Blues. Went to Exeter, he was brilliant there. But then he does things like throws interception tries. Mm. I think Tom James might be one of these classic guys who is basically too talented at rugby to be any good. Because he's such a good runner, he clearly neglects things like don't throw it to the other team so they can score a try. You know, basics.
Don't get pushed into touch.
Yeah, but this was back and forth right until the end. Josh Navidi had a tremendous game. Well, I thought he did until he threw some loose offloads. It's just very, very enjoyable.
And Blues, in the Christmas New Year period, have chalked up two victories against fellow Welsh teams with an aggregate margin of only 3 points more than their opponents.
Right?
3 points better off than the other two opponents. 21-20 they beat Dragons and 29-27 they beat Scarlets.
And if they hadn't have won those two games, they would have won fewer games than Zebre.
Plastic pitches make a huge difference, and maybe the most impressive thing about the Blues is they sold out twice over Christmas.
That is impressive.
Sold out, so can't really argue with that.
2016, the year of the Pro 12, JB.
No, it's not, I'm afraid. It couldn't be further from the truth. This is the problem with...
What?
Yeah, this is the problem with the Pro 12. This weekend was fantastic. Local rivalries, local derbies. The real problem the Pro 12 has is when Scarlets go to Leinster and the travelling fans don't travel. There's a guy on Twitter, I think it's Johnny Lewis Films, who said it should be a conference-style thing. So you've got different pools, so you can play these matches.
You play
matches,
the other Welsh teams four times or...
Yeah.
Three,
and then go into playoff. And that makes so much more sense to me. That's common sense, saves on travel, increases in interest in the games, and then playoff.
Or it could just be like in the NFL where they have conferences where they play those teams in their own conference more times than they play
like they do in the Super
some
Rugby.
Of the other teams. Like in Super Rugby,
That's exactly what they're doing in Super
Rugby.
You
get more of these derby matches, which have been great.
These have been fantastic games. I mean, the weather is rubbish, but even with rubbish weather, Blues and Scarlets showed that you can play something.
And it would mean that it would artificially inflate either Treviso or Zebre's points tally.
You'd also have to find two... Well, you'd have to... See, that's the problem, isn't it, with Pro 12?
Same with Scotland.
You'd have to put the Scottish and the Italians together.
Unless you could get...
Two more Scottish teams and two more Italian teams.
Two more Scottish teams, or cast off Sale and Newcastle.
Yeah.
To play with the Scottish.
Mm. Well, you might...
This is going to get... And then you need, like, a Romanian and a Georgia. Georgia's a bit far.
Well, you could maybe say... You could maybe pull in London Scottish, then you've got less pressure to get a
interesting.
Third Scottish
and
team.
London Welsh.
London Scottish and, yes, see you later, Newcastle.
Yeah, so you're kind of useful, I guess. That's the Pro 12 this week, boys.
Was that a one-off, your Pro 12 update, or are you willing to actually put a bit of time in and a bit of commitment in and see this through? Let's see how long you can do it for, JB. You have to watch a Pro 12 game a week.
I'll do one a week, and that's it.
We'll see how long that goes for.
Yeah. Well done, JB.
Thanks, Tim.
Is this something to do with the fact you're having a baby soon? You're getting close to being a dad, so you're like softening up a little bit. Or yeah, maybe you're realising...
I've got more time for infantile rugby tournaments, I guess.
All right.
Let's look at next week's games.
Well, was there anything else you wanted to talk about? Because there's
in Pro 12, no.
No. We're not in Pro 12. That's fine. We'll move on. But let's briefly talk about... you wanted to talk about... Go on, you take it, Phil. Go on.
Well, it's a little bit of a contradiction. Or a little bit of a paradox. So, this weekend, Steve Diamond, Mark McCall and Conor O'Shea have all three of them have urged Eddie Jones to select Cipriani, Cruis and Danny Kerr, respectively, who are three players who are on the fringe of the England squad.
Yeah, Mark McCall was saying, Cruis is playing about as well as I've ever seen him play.
And he got man of the match.
Danny Cipriani got man of the match.
Yeah. All three. Well, Rob Shaw got man of the match in the Quinns game.
He was excellent again.
He was very hardworking. But all three of them are integral to the club, but not so integral to England. And it does seem like a bit of a contradiction, particularly this season where there's no let-up in Premiership. So every game they play for England, they will miss one for their club. And not only that, probably because of the player welfare, they'll actually have to miss two games because they'll be playing an extra game for England.
Okay, so this is a crazy thought. Is it anything to do with the fact that England pay them money and they get some sort of cap relief?
Well, I was wondering that. Do they get compensation for if when the players are called up? So I think there might be that element.
Possibly. I think in the case of Danny Cipriani, it is Danny Cipriani toyed with the idea of leaving Sale, stayed because he wanted to get into the World Cup squad, has a break clause in his contract at the end of this season, which means he could leave or he could choose to stay. And if Danny Cipriani is achieving his ambitions with Sale Sharks, he will stay with Sale Sharks. And and so I think Steve Diamond, well, one, he cares about the player and he wants the best for him and he knows that that's what Danny Cipriani's ambition is. And it's like a good boss. A good boss will listen to their staff going, this is what I want to achieve, and they'll kind of help them achieve that. So I think there's definitely an element of that. But I think it will be more likely that Danny Cipriani would stick around at Sale Sharks if he feels like he's achieved his England ambitions with them.
I think that's a big, particularly Chris Cruz is a bit younger, and kind of, I think he'll definitely be sticking around at Saracens for the next few years because they're doing so well,
He's pushing hard to be like possibly the first. We've been talking about him all season.
He looked outstanding.
He is really pushing hard for an England starting berth. For Sippers and Kerr's 29. If he doesn't get in the England squad, he might say, well, I'll be 33 for the next World Cup. Might be a bit too far away.
Is now the time to go and explore other opportunities.
Go and get a big money deal in France or Japan.
And not even so much the money, because you're very well paid as a top-notch Premiership player now, and clubs have the ability to pay big, big money with the salary cap increases. I think it's more the, like, if you had the opportunity to travel with rugby, I think you would, wouldn't you?
Hask did it.
You take those opportunities are really rare, and it's got to be so appealing. I was 29 and no longer, and Danny
Kerr, you're not 29,
and no longer had those international possibilities, I think I could go to France. I could go to New Zealand.
Yeah, go to Japan.
As a rugby player and you want to be a bit smart, it's very hard to say because so much pressure to be in the right system, the right setup, be at work at a certain time with the right club, so on and so forth. What Haskell did was fairly inspiring, which is, if it was on purpose, let's get a very broad rugby experience. At very worst, I'll be a world-class pundit. I think it's very smart.
And a good after-dinner speaker.
Great afternoon, speaker. Let's go and experience running really upright and bouncing off post protectors in a number of different countries.
France, Japan, New Zealand, they're all the same, those posts.
he could teach Rob Shaw a thing or two about being a captain. Let me tell you, with all that experience.
No, I think it's brilliant. And it always annoys me about football, the reluctance of players and managers to go and soak up different experiences abroad. And it's like this Little England mentality. And I quite like that rugby, it feels like a kind of, you know, embrace new cultures and new ways of playing and training.
Got a thought about Haskell for rugby from football. I mean, I think if you're like a championship player and you had a year in Australia, then a year in Brazil, and then a year in Argentina, you'd get work. And by the time you got back, you'd probably be a bit of a hero.
Yeah.
Danny Kerr and Danny Cipriani being involved in England means they re-sign with Harlequins and Sale.
Definitely. I think that's a big thing.
Well, tell us what you think on that or anything else you've heard on the podcast. That Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter. Leave your reviews and whatnot on iTunes and we could pick yours out as our little review of the week. But let's get on to the fixtures, which are coming thick and fast, obviously, every week. Not in the case of Sale Sharks. They've been handed a rest week, which they must be well happy about.
Yeah, I was thinking
that. Because with that and the European Challenge Cup, they've basically got like a 3-week winter break.
Yeah.
They're sending all their guys off on holiday. Steve Diamond banned Christmas and New Year.
I heard that.
Had them in training and stuff and then just said, you've got a whole week off, like, starting now.
Yeah, use it. Go and get some sun and relax for a week.
Exactly, which is brilliant.
That's a tremendous idea.
Bath obviously got Toulon in the European European Champions Cup.
Yeah, no rest for the wicked. Just on the Premiership, the Bath Sale was supposed to be the only Friday night game. Have we got a replacement game?
No.
No Friday night game?
So, Jay, you can watch Ospreys Leinster.
Yeah!
Actually, that's not a bad way to start.
That'd be a great game.
Yeah, I can watch that.
Better than Edinburgh Treviso, certainly.
Yeah, great.
That's why Ospreys Leinster means nothing, because the points are against that game. It's the same league.
So we have got on Saturday, 9th of January, Exeter v Gloucester.
Not as one-sided as I originally thought it would be last week, if that makes sense.
I think it will be.
Do you think?
Gloucester are very good attacking, not as good defending. I mean, they've shipped 50-odd points in the last 2 weeks.
You've also forgotten it's their year.
We postponed that for the year.
Next year.
I think it was uncharacteristically poor attack from Exeter, and they will be knowing that they've got to have a response.
And it's at Sandy Park.
Yes.
I think it'll be Exeter. I don't think it'll be easy.
Exeter, again, if Gloucester get a bonus point, it's a good result for them.
Yeah.
This next matchup is fascinating.
Quinns Saracens.
Now we'll find out what Quinns are really made of.
At the Stoop.
Doesn't matter where it is.
I'm giving this one to the Borg.
I can't see any other result.
I think there'll be more penalty tries and
Scrum. I tell you what, that Quinns scrum is going to get tortured.
Yeah. The Saracens scrum is so good that Petrus Duplessis, friend of the podcast, there was an article in The Guardian today saying, could he be the short-term solution to England's tight head problem?
This is what it is.
Could he?
He's 34. His form is on form. He's arguably the best.
This is unbelievable.
Tight head in the former,
right? So he's
reskilled.
He went from being Phil's teammate.
He was Liverpool St Helens before.
Liverpool St Helens,
21-year-old.
Liverpool St Helens, then Phil's teammate at Sedley Park, where he was quite overweight. Went to Rotherham.
Still
where
strong.
He was very strong, yeah. Where he was a big unit, just a scrummager. Went to Nottingham, where he was a teammate with my brother, and I met him a couple of times there. And there's a fitness guy at Nottingham. I don't know if he's still there. I think he went to France, called Joe Brun, who Petrus.
Did he go to Toulon or something?
I think might have gone to Toulon, but Petrus Duplessis puts gives a lot of the credit for his turnaround in his career to this one guy at Nottingham who basically followed him around like they used to do with Trevor Liotta at Wasps and made sure he ate the right stuff and trained the right way, and he's just become an athlete and has got better and better.
I remember seeing pictures of him in his first, just after his pre-season at Nottingham, and he'd gone from being like a bad close to 20 stone to being a very, very good 18 and a half stone. And looking lean and athletic, because he always had a bit of a turn of pace. He doesn't anymore, but he kind of had the potential, but just never.
It's a good story. I like it.
Oh, it's a great.
It's a
story.
A real underdog story. I like it. The Borg. I can't see past Sarries.
Well, yeah, I just want to see how good Quinns actually are, and this will let us know.
We'll learn a lot about Quinns' attack and Saracens' defence in this game. So it'll be good.
That's a bit of a Londonish type derby, as this is an East Midlands derby, very much so. Leicester, Northampton.
Yeah.
It's going to be brutal. The Welford Road crowd are going to be right up for this one, as will both sides.
I tell you what I also like about this. Both sides had results last week, which will make this even tastier. So you've got a bad team in Northampton, a bad run of form.
Yeah.
And they get that result against Exeter. Now they're going to think that they can win. You've got the Tigers, who had a good run of form, they had a terrible result, and now they want to really get back on track. This is going to be brilliant.
I do think Tigers actually rested a few players for that.
I think so.
For that
game. Do you think?
Yeah, well, they did. Very much so.
They did.
I don't believe the Tigers rest players.
Faka Balmain instead of Youngs Cole.
I'm sorry, I think they might squad rotate, but I don't think a club like Tigers.
And they had Don Barrow instead of some of their second row options as well.
Honestly, yeah. I don't think Leicester Tigers do that. I think any team that they put out, they expect to win.
I'm not so sure. I'm going to give this one to Leicester by a smidge.
Leicester at home, yeah. To recover, to play more like the way they've been playing this season.
Yeah, yeah, I'll go with that as well.
On to Sunday, Irish Newcastle. This is fascinating. Could it be Andy Goode's? Andy Goode thought he was going to be playing at the Medeski Stadium this season. Didn't maybe bank on the fact his debut might be against Irish, not for Irish.
Yeah.
That's an interesting little side story, that one.
I have no idea.
It is. I don't expect Goode to be in, because presumably, knowing what Andy Goode trains when he is a professional rugby player, how he trains when he's a professional rugby player, I don't expect he will have been doing an awful lot in his first 3 months, as a professional rugby player.
Have I told you about my theory about why Andy Goode's back? It's just come back to me. It'll be very, very quick. Since he had his hair transplant, he's been looking at the mirror, and he likes the man that he sees back. And he goes, yeah, the face is good, the hair's good, now let's sort out this. And then he's been working out, he's been going to the gym, losing a bit of weight, and now he realises that it can come back.
No.
It's all about the hair transplant.
It's like the reverse Samson, you know, Samson got rid of his hair and lost his powers, Andy Coote's got more hair. Got more powers.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's going to ruin his game now, because you're going to think he's fit and athletic and he's going to get into all sorts of trouble.
No, I think this is exactly the opposite. You're almost right, but he started going to the gym and he just couldn't shift that weight because he likes his Coronas too much. So he thought, well, liposuction is quite expensive. Maybe I can milk a four-month contract out of someone.
The opposite to being expensive.
I would love to know how much Newcastle are.
Why don't you guess,
Tim?
Why don't you share the guess which you guessed with us? It was only a guess.
My guess that it would be, I don't know. If I was Newcastle and
higher or lower? So it's 4 months. In a month, what was he going to make? Let's just say 20 grand a month.
If I was guessing, I'd say Newcastle are spending more than 20 grand a month on Andy Goode.
Ooh. But would you say more or less than, say, 60 grand a month?
Probably somewhere. Like, let's halve the difference. Let's say 40, for example.
40. For example.
Let's just say, for example.
That's interesting, like, to say 40, because that's not halving the difference, is it? That's
between 20
and 60.
Yeah, it is.
Whatever.
Financial advisor. Well done, Jamie.
Damn you.
Let's say, for argument's sake, they're spending 40 grand a year. Just a figure we're just plucking completely out of the air.
Yeah, I mean, that's
40 grand a month.
40 grand a month for Andy Goode. We're a figure we're completely plucking out of the air with absolutely no inside knowledge whatsoever.
No, none.
On whether £40,000 a month is what Newcastle are paying Andy Goode, so not knowing whether or not it's £40,000 a month.
But that would pay for some serious liposuction.
Yeah. Oh, it's more hair
and more hair. No,
I think he's done the hair, he's done the face, and now he's shifting the chin timber. And I was thinking, right, I'm back.
Modelling contract.
I'm back. Yeah. So who's winning this game anyway?
Irish are winning this game.
Irish at home.
If you say Irish, I'll go with Irish.
And then Bath Toulon. Now, did you watch the Toulon game this weekend?
No. Tell us, Phil.
Did I watch it?
No, we watched the first half of Stade Toulouse. I did watch the Toulon game. Toulon, again, thoroughly uninspiring. James O'Connor scored two tries, or finished off two quite nice tries, but they just looked like they were going for power, 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 power. They're using Marnon just as a battering ram, not much else. So it doesn't feel like they're getting the most out of their players. Quade Cooper got a yellow card for a very stupid... He was at the bottom of the ruck. The nine picks the ball up and, lying on the floor, just taps the ball out of the nine's hand. Yellow card,
idiot.
Quade. I found out this week that Quade Cooper had the worst disciplinary record in international rugby last year.
That's shocking.
He played five matches.
To go along with the worst attitude.
Yeah. Five matches, three yellow cards.
That's a man that I want in my team.
Two of those matches were off the bench.
Oh.
That is an appalling, an absolutely appalling disciplinary record.
What's wrong with this kid? He's so talented. What is wrong with him? I think we missed a boat on Quade.
Toulon will win, though. They have to, because this is still a tight pull. They'll win.
Yes.
They'll try and put their qualification to bed.
At home for Toulon. Bath's qualification isn't... it's not over yet at all.
No, and it's
Bath win, it's very much up.
I don't expect Bath to go to Toulon to win.
Nope.
Right, and then back in the Premiership, the final game of the weekend, Wasps Worcester, Midlands derby. this is a derby match.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Wasps. Yeah, they've got to. And then rattling through the Pro 12 fixtures, JB's going to be watching the game on Friday night. Ospreys Leinster. Yeah. I think.
Ospreys, Dan Bigger can beat anyone, anytime, anywhere, any place.
All right, well, we'll see. Edinburgh will beat Benetton Treviso.
Who are yet to win a game.
And then we don't have any games on Saturday, just game on Sunday, which is Scarlets Connacht.
Is that right?
That's interesting.
Zebre Glasgow and Blues Munster both postponed. I don't know whether that's
because some will be replaying the European Champions Cup, won't they?
Yeah.
Like, Ulster playing Oyonna.
Yeah.
Oyonna a few years ago beat some of the best teams in the in the Pro 14, top 14. I don't know if you know that,
but I think they're
that was back in the days when Dean Ryan was trying to take the positives out of the situation, and Worcester beat Oyonna in the Champions in the Challenge Cup.
Yes.
And they were doing terribly in the Premiership. But Oyonnax had snuck a surprise win
against
home to Toulon.
Toulon, yeah.
So Dean Ryan said, it's not all bad because we just beat a team who beat...
who beat one of the best teams in Europe.
As the year when Worcester were champions of France, effectively.
Proverbial clutch in the straws.
Heineken Cup winners that year.
Yeah, if you do it by WWE rules, where the belt goes with the winner.
Yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely. There's an international rugby
belt
cup that is whoever the winner is. So if, for example, if New Zealand get beat by Australia, Australia then lose to Argentina. Argentina lose to Ireland. So New Zealand might not see it again for a long time.
Like a sort of a tennis or squash ladder type system.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Well, kind of. Because it's not the top. You don't get...
Oh, yeah. You can't leapfrog too many places up. Yeah.
It's just you hold it until you're beaten.
It's like a boxing belt.
Tell you what would be wonderful. If South Africa were the holders, when Japan beat them, which means... Oh, Scotland would have it now.
No, Australia would have it, which means New Zealand would have it.
Oh, goddamn. See, if...
comes back to New Zealand.
Particularly in a World Cup year, it frequently works its way back to New Zealand.
If only it could be Japan, and then they
In
were
fact,
out.
It would have to work its way back to the World Cup winners in a World Cup year, wouldn't it? By definition. Unless Moldova had beaten someone and they weren't involved in the World Cup,
Japan weren't until it on their last game...
Winner. Yeah, so Japan could not... They could win their
group game, but not qualify.
And then you'd never see it again, because it'd be in Japan. You wouldn't see it for years until maybe the next...
Pacific Nations Cup.
Yeah,
so it'd pass around Canada, then USA would have a stint.
Yeah.
I'm just looking it up now.
But who decides who started with it? Is it the first international
game
ever played?
I don't think we need to worry about that.
Have they tracked it from the very first international game ever played through?
It might well have been.
I can't want to say that.
You'd have to if you were going to get a fair result. Just while you're working that out, quickly say that there is European Champions Rugby on Friday night. There is also Bordeaux Bagel v Clermont, which is an interesting little matchup.
Rayburn Shield. Rayburn Shield.
Racing 92 playing Glasgow. Racing will win that. Stade Francais playing Munster. Stade will win that. Pau play Caster. Cast will win that one. There you go. Done those little games for you.
Oh, cheers, Tim.
Pau looked all right against Toulon.
Yeah, they did.
Comrade Smith scored a very nice try, dummying two of his former All Black teammates.
On Sunday, Oyonnax play Ulster and Pride Ulsterman will come back with a win, and Toulon will beat Bath, as we talked about.
Yes, Ulster.
Oh, Scarlets play Connacht as well. Did we say that one? Anyway.
Scarlets to win at home.
Yeah.
Rayburn
Shield.
Current holders, Australia.
But then that it must be New Zealand.
Yeah, it must be New Zealand.
Why don't you try the rayburnshield.com?
Because this is Wikipedia we're looking at the moment. So that must be a game behind. That must be, what is it?
Just tell us where it is.
Well, if
current holders, New Zealand.
Yeah. Current holders, New Zealand.
Oh, that's annoying.
God's sakes.
Just, here we go. In the 1990 World Cup, the sequence of Rayburn Shield holders was Wales, Samoa, Scotland, New Zealand, France, Australia. However, after the World Cup, the Rayburn Shield was quickly challenged. Australia defended it four times before yielding to New Zealand. New Zealand defended it twice before yielding it to England, who defended it 10 times before yielding it to Ireland.
Wow. I love this idea.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It describes it as being similar to a boxing world title.
I think we should do
Although you don't earn the right, you just have the fixtures laid out before you, so you don't earn the right for the title shot.
Do you know what? I just realised, I was going to say, we should do one for the Premiership with last year's winners of the Premiership.
Saracens defended it for 22 games.
But unfortunately, it'd still be Saracens, so it's not really that exciting, is it?
Well, we need a name for the shield that we're going to invent for the Premiership current holders, and Saracens are the current holders.
Current holders?
Current holders, Saracens. We need a name for the shield. We could name it in honour of Saracens currently being the originators and call it the Borg Trophy.
The Borg Cube.
Or we must be able to come up with something more inventive than that.
Someone will be able to come up with a much better name.
There we go.
That.
Next week's podcast, we're going to christen the hypothetical trophy that we're going to give to whoever... is currently winning that. Well, you understand how it works. So at Rugby Podcast, tweet us. Enjoy the rugby and...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Give us your thoughts and on anything you've heard at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next time. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.